But for here for first hour today, let's turn first in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I have a brief message of acknowledgement regarding what was very proudly proclaimed by Joe Biden last week as National LGBTQ Pride Month for the month of June. A brief message of acknowledgement. On June 11, 1999, Bill Clinton was the first U.S. president to actually issue an official proclamation designating the month of June as what they called then Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. Bill stated as follows, 30 years ago this month, which is 1969, at the Stonewall Inn in New York City, a courageous group of citizens resisted harassment and mistreatment, setting in motion a chain of events that would become known as the Stonewall Uprising and the birth of the modern gay and lesbian civil rights movement. Gays and lesbians, their families and friends, celebrate the anniversary of Stonewall every June in America as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. And earlier this month, the National Park Service added the Stonewall Inn, as well as the nearby park and neighborhood streets surrounding it, to the National Register of Historic Places. Now, therefore, I, William J. Clinton, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do thereby proclaim June 1999 as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. I encourage all Americans to observe this month with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities that celebrate our diversity. And to remember, throughout the year, the gay and lesbian Americans, whose many and varied contributions have enriched our national life. Clinton's successor, George W. Bush, did not officially recognize Pride Month during his tenure in office. Annual presidential proclamations for Pride Month and resumed in 2009 when Obama took office. As a Republican, Trump actually never issued an official proclamation about Pride Month, but he instead issued a series of tweets stating as follows, as we celebrate LGBT Pride Month, and recognize the outstanding contributions LGBT people have made to our great nation, let us also stand in solidarity with the many LGBT people who live in dozens of countries worldwide that punish, imprison, or even execute individuals on the basis of their sexual orientation. My administration has launched a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality and to invite all nations to join us in this effort, which they did do. Trump had a global effort to push homosexuality. To what?
To legalize wickedness.
And he instructed our embassies to fly the so-called gay pride banner from the U.S. embassies around the world. And then, of course, as mentioned last week, Joe Biden issued his official proclamation celebrating what is now called National LGBTQ Pride Month, because they're proud of being queer. So that's the Q's in there now. Joe stated as follows, Pride is a time to recall the trials of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community has endured, and to rejoice in the triumphs of trailblazing individuals who have bravely fought and continue to fight for full equality, Mr. Biden said in a statement on Tuesday. And so therefore, following Roman Catholic Joe Biden's presidential directive and invitation, I would like to recall the most historic trial that the LGBTQ community has ever endured in this prideful fight for full equality. So I will point out that the particular trial I want to recall did not end in triumph any more than the LGBTQ community's present quest will end in triumph in the long run either. I'd like to remind Joe Biden, the LGBTQ community, and the world in general, that the sick, animalistic, degrading, most unhealthy, and destructive sexual perversion it takes such great pride in promoting is still to this day, 4,000 years later, known to the world as sodomy, named after those ancient twin sister cities that gave themselves over to homosexuality and sexual perversion, Sodom and Gomorrah. Modern archaeology has confirmed as the Lord Jesus also confirmed in Matthew chapter 11, just as the Bible declares in Genesis chapter 19, those twin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, were indeed wiped out by God via the raining down of fire and brimstone from heaven. During his ministry on earth, the Lord Jesus was rejected in the city of Capernaum, despite the many miracles of healing that he had done there. And so he proclaimed in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 23, "Now thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Verse 24, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Here the Lord Jesus confirms as a literal event the Old Testament account of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction from heaven. And by the way, Joe Biden, who claims to be a Roman Catholic, claims to believe in Jesus, should take note that the Lord Jesus confirmed what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah 4,000 years ago, or thereabouts. Jesus confirmed what happened there, and so does modern archaeology, by the way. Now, just a short 6 years ago, an archaeologist named Stephen Collins combined clues from Genesis chapter 13 in the Bible with archaeological evidence that he found in the site of an ancient city now called Tel al-Hammam in modern-day Jordan. Which ancient city, Collins believes, from the evidence he found, is in fact Sodom? It was found in a tract of land known as the Kikar, near the northeast shore of the Dead Sea, that mysterious sea of hypersaline salt water where no fish can live, the shores of which are found at the lowest point on the face of the earth, a full 1,400 feet below sea level, as if after destroying the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God pressed that whole area down into the earth, as a rather vivid illustration of his words in Deuteronomy 32:22, where he said, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Unlike the Canaanite cities that continued to flourish until about 1200 BC, archaeological evidence shows that Tel al-Hammam was destroyed by fire, and the area remained uninhabited for seven centuries. Collins and his team of archaeologists excavated this site over actually a nine-year period, ending in 2015. All across the site, they found widespread evidence of an intense fire or an inferno that left the city in ruins. They found scorched foundations and floors buried under nearly 3 feet of a dark gray ash, as well as dozens of pottery sherds covered with a frothy, melted-type surface, glassy appearance, which indicates that they were actually briefly exposed to temperatures well in excess of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, the approximate heat of volcanic magma. However, the evidence suggests that the city and the surrounding area were catastrophically destroyed in a sudden and extreme judgment by fire, but from a source that is not consistent with the natural volcanic eruption. Which is because, just as we read in Genesis chapter 19, after first reading of the homosexual perversion of the men of the city of Sodom, we then read in verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." We read in verse 27. "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord," meaning, by the way, the place where Abraham had pled with the Lord to spare the city. Verse 28. "And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." As a result of this judgment upon Sodom, throughout the Old Testament, the Bible continues to refer to homosexuals as Sodomites. Right. Sodomites, just as the English-speaking world today still refer to their gross sexual perversion as sodomy, as Israel and Judah later turned from God to idolatry. It too, just as America today, became tolerant of the LGBTQ community. So that we read in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24, in the days of Solomon's son, King Rehoboam. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it was tolerated. A few good kings of Judah arose later that the Bible says, remove the Sodomites out of the land. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah. But they kept coming back. So later on, turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Later on in Ezekiel chapter 16, which was written just before the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, just before the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by fire when the land was invaded by the Babylonians. Ezekiel is in fact writing from Babylon because he's in that first wave of captives to go off to Babylon. And here in chapter 16, the prophet Ezekiel recorded this warning of pending judgment from the Lord to the city of Jerusalem, which by then had become worse than Sodom in its idolatry and its abominations, having turned aside from following the Lord. And so God says to Jerusalem through the prophet Ezekiel, as I live, saith the Lord, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. He says, verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither has Samaria, the northern tribes, committed half of thy sins. Talking here to Judah and Jerusalem. But thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Why was Sodom destroyed? What was their chief sin?
Pride.
The kind of pride that the Bible says goes before destruction. The kind of pride that's the very sin that led to Lucifer's rebellion. The kind of pride that I believe is, in God's eyes, the worst sin of all. Because it is the root and the cause of all other sins against God, as we see here. That's why this is the first sin that God cites as a reason for Sodom's destruction. First, they were prideful. They had fullness of bread, thought they had everything they needed. They were lazy. Abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Idleness is the devil's workshop, by the way, which is why God said to Adam, I'm going to curse the ground for thy sake. I'm going to put you to work, Adam. You've been idle. You don't need to be idle. I'm going to curse the ground. You're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your face. Idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty, prideful. And then, after all those things, they committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good, God says. But the first sin that God cites as a reason for Sodom's destruction was pride. Gay pride, may I say. At its worst, pride is a state of mind and attitude of the heart that results in rebellion against God. It is a rebellious spirit of independence from God. This is the type of pride that the men of Sodom displayed and that America today now displays. Right. It's a sin that we all need to be on guard against, even as Christians, because with us also, it is pride that causes us to lose our fear of God and choose to sin, thinking God will not chastise us for our sin. It's pride that causes us, as Christians, to think that God will allow us to sin or that we have a right to sin in maybe just this one area. It's pride that causes unbelievers to think that they're good enough to merit eternal life. How many times have we asked people as we're out knocking on doors, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd have eternal life? Oh yeah, I think I'm a good guy. Yeah, I'll go to heaven. I'm a pretty good guy. I've heard it many, many times. It's pride that causes unbelievers to think that they are good enough to merit eternal life. And so it is pride that keeps men from repenting of their sin and coming to the cross to be saved. We see in Ezekiel 16 that the primary sin that brought God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah was the pride that caused the men of Sodom to think that they could shake their fist at God and revel in their sexual perversion, just as America is doing today. And so to those in this so-called land of the free who rejoice in their so-called sexual freedom and in their nationally proclaimed pride in a heinous sin that God calls an abomination. As the Lord Jesus once said to Capernaum, he now says to this wicked nation that insists on celebrating its gay pride. Jesus says to this nation, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." God says to the once so-called Christian America, "Your pride will precede your destruction." Pride goes before destruction. And just as God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, so America's destruction is fast approaching. Right. Even as it flies its gay pride rainbow flag this month from its embassies around the world, the queers have united globally around that banner that they adopted by trying to claim for themselves God's rainbow that he sent after the cataclysmic flood of Noah as a sign of his covenant that he would never again judge the earth by a flood of water. Perhaps the queer community takes a bit of confidence in that promise. But the rainbow will not help them escape from God's wrath when he once again judges this nation and indeed the entire world by fire from heaven rather than a flood of water. Right. Having given themselves over to the insanity of transgenderism, transsexualism, and homosexuality, America, the UK, Australia, and the NATO nations of Europe are all committing national suicide. And while Joe Biden has restored Obama's initiative of promoting these evils to flourish in the American military, we know China is doing just the opposite. They're discouraging homosexuals in their military, and China is also preparing to destroy American military. We know that. I mentioned a couple months back, military analyst Joel Skousen outlined in his World Affairs brief how China's military strength may well surpass America's within the next 4 to 5 years as they are building more aircraft carriers and stockpiling nuclear weapons to match America's arsenal. They have developed a new nuclear-tipped missile, anti-ship missile, designated the DF-21D, each missile capable of wiping out an entire aircraft carrier battle group. Entire battle group. Those carrier battle groups, of course, are the major source of U.S. foreign diplomatic power and U.S. foreign power to be projected globally. And because of this and other developments, we heard that U.S. Navy Admiral Philip Davidson, head of the Indo-Pacific Command, warned the Senate Armed Services Committee 3 months ago of an increasing imbalance in the Indo-Pacific region brought on by China's rapid military advance. He said the military imbalance in the Indo-Pacific is becoming more unfavorable for the United States and our allies. With this imbalance, we are accumulating risk that may embolden China to unilaterally change the status quo before our forces and may be able to deliver an effective response. And that changing the status quo, of course, means China invading Taiwan, which probably also means starting World War III. And so just as God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven, I do believe America's destruction is fast approaching, just as we read about in Revelation chapter 18. Right. As prophesied, I believe, here in Revelation 18, this is a prophecy of papal Rome, along with her daughter, and proxy papal state America itself, that we see being judged here in Revelation chapter 18. Where we read in verse 2, "Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, in a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Verse 4, John says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double, God says. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow, as America says today. God's not going to judge us. This is America, mightiest nation on earth. Pride. God will judge America. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, as was Sodom and Gomorrah. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her, and the kings of the earth, who committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. America's pride, gay pride, will both precede and precipitate its ultimate destruction. However, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Lord, who have been born again, we've been washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we, of course, also have a peace that passes all understanding, knowing that just as God preserved Jeremiah when Babylon's armies destroyed Jerusalem, and he later preserved Daniel and the captives of Babylon when Medo-Persia conquered Babylon, so can we today trust that our Lord will preserve his remnant when this nation is destroyed in the coming judgment of God, which will be by fire. For those who don't have that peace, I would implore you and warn you to repent of your rebellion against God and his standards of righteousness, and today receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, and then you can know the salvation, peace, and joy that we have.